Exodus 14:13. Do not fear, stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which we will perform for you today. Exodus 14:13. Do not fear, stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will perform for you today. Exodus 14:13. Psalm 119:89-90. Forever, Lord, your words stand in heaven. Your faithfulness continues through generations. You establish the earth and it stands. Psalm 119:89-90. Forever, Lord, your word stands in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout generations. You establish the earth and it stands. Psalm 119:89-90. 1 John 5:4. For whoever has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. 1 John 5:4. For whoever has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. 5:4. Children, please stand for Bible class. Well, I'm glad to be here. I hope you are too. Sounded like we got a little better on the music there, Sly. I don't know if I was just hearing that or did you hear any improvement on that? It sounded really good. I don't know. Maybe it was just being up here. I don't know, but it sounded better than I'm used to. So.
Yeah, when you're up there, it sounds a lot different.
Yeah, it's amplified. So, anyways. Good to be here, and we're here for one reason, and that reason is to grow, learn the Word of God, and get to know Him through His Word, and therefore we need to be in a right relationship, which for us that means handling our sin, taking care of our sin through confession, so we can be filled with the Spirit, and therefore metabolize the Word so we can use it in our lives and think with it. So let's go ahead and take a moment, silent prayer, and take care of that now. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come before you and present your word and learn your word. And we very much love your word, and we know that if we continue to take it in, that you will not only bless us, but allow us to live a life that is unmeasured and like no other. We thank you for everything you provide on a continuous basis. We pray for our leadership. We pray for faith so we can continue to look to you and have faith and trust you in these times. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So today we'll be in Philippians, but I came across Ephesians 2:10, and I just want to read it because it brought some stuff to my mind, and maybe we can just talk about that first. It's not going to take too long because you've already been taught this verse, but anyways, Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." And the reason why I wanted to bring this up is because we sometimes hear, if you're not walking as a Christian should, then you're not a Christian. We've all heard that. If you're not living a certain way, then you're not really saved. Maybe he had a head belief and not a heart belief. You've heard the different reasons to explain that. There's two problems with that. And the first one is that we have no way of knowing whether an individual is saved or not by their actions. And the second problem with that is, and the more important problem with that is the Word of God doesn't teach us that. We know that, which I hope you remember, that it was last class, I think Jason covered the concept that the Holy Spirit has a way in which He works these things on our behalf. We take part in the process through faith, through a decision. So for us, that entails what this is telling us, this verse is telling us, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So the Holy Spirit has made us born again for good works, right? We're Christians, we're born again, we're a believer now, and we are designed to walk in these good works. The word walk here is in the subjunctive mood, which you guys know is simply a potential. It's a potential. So for us as Christians, from the moment we believe, it's simply a potential for us to continue on in His Word and continue in that walk, in that upward trend. So the fact that this verse is telling us that it's only a potential tells me that there's absolutely no way we can tell from someone's works whether they are saved or not. Also, the issue for the believer is not salvation, but what? Taking advantage of that potential. It's taking advantage of your potential as that new born-again believer, which you all have done, or you wouldn't be here. It's maximizing that potential, but the key about it is it's only a potential. So it really boils down to the volition of the individual. So, of course, we do have a sin nature. We all know that. And none of us can have 100% taking advantage of our potential. We can't have 100%. But we can desire and hope to have as much as possible. As much as possible as what? The divine good and the growth in our lives. So, just like in this room, there are many different levels of believers, and the potential to walk in good works is different for all of you. Every one of you have done different types of walking in the Holy Spirit, glorifying God, even just through this weekend. There's a dedicated walk. There's a less dedicated walk. And that's a given. We know that just because life, God gave us choice. And I should probably mention at this point that walking in good works must be done within the power of the Holy Spirit. It has to. Otherwise, it's not glorifying God anymore. It's glorifying me as a person. So when we take our own power and flesh and try to do something good for God, we have to be careful because it has to be done in His way and in His procedure. So anything at that point, though, can be considered good works or divine good. And if you remember that fellowship, we talked about fellowship, and that definition of fellowship was participation. Remember? It was participation with the Trinity. And the Scripture brought these concepts out for us. It said we have participation with the Holy Spirit through confession of sin. We have participation with Christ by learning His Word and taking on His mind. And we have fellowship with the Father by applying these concepts to our everyday life, through our everyday life. So there's a complete circle, and I guess you could call it a completeness in our fellowship. But that still doesn't mean that you cannot produce divine good when you're in fellowship. When you are in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, confession of sin, anything you do after that point is considered unto the Lord. And I think I might have confused that point a little bit and added the other stuff. You have to be growing. You have to be producing divine good. Well, that's the reason we are filled with the Spirit, so we can grow, learn, and then apply. Right off the bat, as a new believer, you're not going to be in fellowship a whole lot. I know I wasn't, but that's going to grow as you grow. The length of time you being in fellowship is going to be extended more and more. So what happens is you begin to grow more, you begin to take in the Word of God more, and guess what happens? You stay in fellowship longer. So now you're able to grow and also able to produce divine good works. So it is a process, but the entry point is always the Holy Spirit. Always the Holy Spirit. So, and no Christian life is equal, we know that. And the way I learned this as a kid is there are some winners and some losers. And that might sound a little harsh because we know as believers, we all are winners. We are going to heaven. But it does bring home the point that our volition is the focus of this life. Whether you become a winner or loser depends on your decisions and your growth in your relationship with Christ. Now, in that aspect, there are some winners and there are some losers. So believe it or not, there will be some believers that will have no good works in heaven. None at all. The only decision they made was to be saved. They put their faith in Christ. That was it. Whether they were on their deathbed or whatever the case may be, there will be some that have no good works, but they're in heaven. So that's a biblical concept, and I just wanted to bring it out again. I know Jason covered some of this, but it can never hurt to hit it again because we deal with this every day, if you think about it. The people we know and are around are not aware of this, what the Bible teaches. They're not aware of it. They're not aware of eternal security. They're not aware of a one-time decision and you're saved. They're not aware that they can't take themselves out of salvation because God has them and He's the only one that can grant and hold them in His hand and not let them go. People need to know these things. So when we need to be careful about where we put the emphasis in the spiritual life. Is it salvation or is it growth? Well, it's both. But it depends on who you're talking to and how much information they have in their head already. If you put the focus on the growth aspect and they're not even to salvation yet, they're going to combine the two into one. So, yes, we are designed for good works, and that pleases God, and it brings many, many blessings to your life and happiness, but it's not a guarantee that you will take that path as a believer in Jesus Christ. So today we're in Philippians 1:8, and I called this emotions from the gut. And we'll see why. Because there's a word in here that we need to we'll flesh out a little bit. But let's start with just reading the verses, and I'll start at verse 5. So Philippians 1:5, it says, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now, for I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. So the first thing we have is, for God is my witness. God is my witness. And the word witness here is one who affirms, who attests, who is a witness. And Paul is saying that God is the one who is affirming the genuineness of his feelings. We could take this as an idiom that says, I'm telling you the truth. That's what he's saying. He says, God is my witness. And in order to be a witness for something, you must first know the facts. And we all know, we learn that God knows the facts, because he looks not at the outward appearance of man, but he looks at the inward appearance of man. Remember, we think with the cardia, the mentality of our soul, and that's what God sees and looks at. It's like you can flip open the top of, God is seeing your thoughts. You might think, oh no, right? Well, that's the truth. God sees what we think. So for Paul to mention God as his witness and the way he feels towards the Philippians is something that brings them assurance in what he's saying, first of all. And the next thing is that he's absolutely, without a doubt, telling the truth because of who his witness is here. And also, on top of that, only God can see the true thoughts of what we're thinking. Only God, not your husband or your wife or your mom or dad. God. They might have a gut feeling, but they could be completely off, right? Only God sees the actual true us, who we are and who we think. So if you remember during the time when Samuel was sent to anoint David, he showed up. He was there to... He was looking for him. He didn't know exactly who he was at first, but he knew he was there for a reason. So he first saw his brother Eliab, and he thought he was the one. You remember, he was going to anoint him. So, but then God said in 1 Samuel 16:7, he says, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And that's the concept here. It's the same exact concept. God looks on the heart and knows what we really and truly, who we are. So not only is God qualified to attest to what Paul is saying, but Paul genuinely wants them to know that, because that is truly how he feels. And the only way to get that across accurately is to bring God into the picture. It's like a triangle. You've got the Philippians, Paul, and God now. So they can understand where he's coming from. So what is he a witness to? It says, for God is my witness, how I long for all of you. This word long here it's really a compound word. You can see the two parts, different colors. The second half of the word means to long for, to long after. Patheo, it means to long after. But when you combine it with epi, remember epi is the above, this is a heightened sense of longing. It's a deep longing, deeply longed. He deeply longs to see them. So, and you can see this in some translations, this one brought it out. It says, how I greatly long for you. Yours might just say long for you, but the actual longing is great. It's a heightened level here. So the present tense is saying that this longing is continuously and persistently a part of Paul's view towards them. That's where he's at. He knows them. He knows what they're doing. He understands their relationship to the Lord. And he's worked with them enough time to know and to feel a certain way towards them. And this is being expressed right here. He's expressing that. I deeply long for you. And you can't see it, but there's a little bitty Greek word that we keep coming across. I think this is the sixth or seventh time. Pos. All of you. The whole congregation. Remember we had that conversation? We talked about everybody? There's a relationship with the entire congregation. Because it's a unit. You guys are a unit. You grow as a unit. You move forward down a certain path as a unit. Remember? And he knows that. And he includes even the outliers. He includes the whole congregation here. So, one of the things that brings joy and delight and thanksgiving to a pastor, or to any Bible teacher for that matter, myself included, I'm sure Michael and Jason can attest to this, is believers that are positive to the Word of God. Believers that are positive to the Word of God. And that is truly what brings delight and thanksgiving from any Bible teacher. And there's absolutely no replacement for that. There is no replacement for your positive volition. Nothing. Why? Because that's the stronghold that holds you in position of your life. Right there. Your positive volition is what holds you in the driver's seat. And I'll tell you what, that's not easy to find. It's not. It's not easy to find. So hold on to that. Hold on to that. This is not something I'm doing. This is not something the pastor's doing. This is because of your response to the Word of God. Your hunger for His Word, no matter what. That's where it's at. It's your hunger for the Word of God, hands down, no matter what. There is nothing that is going to separate you from His Word. Nothing. Nothing. And that's exactly what we have here in the Philippian congregation. And Paul knows that. You know, he's been watching them and seeing them and working with them, and he knows they're hungry for the Word. There's nothing he's doing. There's nothing that he can. God is using him in a certain way, but guess what? The focus is always on God. Always on Christ. So we've seen Paul's thoughts about the Philippians already, or from the heart. He prays for them. He's thankful for them. He misses them because of their fellowship in the gospel. And any Bible teacher has a desire to teach the Word of God to people that are interested in God. That sounds very like a simple concept, but it's rare. It's rare. If you go ask anybody if they're interested, oh yeah, oh shoot yeah. I love the Lord, I love God, right? But I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about lip service. I'm talking about what I see here. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a truly genuine, positive volition. Truly genuine. Not, oh yeah, I love the Lord. Oh yeah, He's got this. Oh yeah, I trust Him. Not lip service. I'm talking about what's inside you. So the interest, the genuine interest is there. You want to learn about Him, and all we are is a conduit. That's it. That's all we are, is a conduit, just to get the message out. That's all we are. Take it in and get it out. So most of you already know this, but about a month into this COVID deal, the prison stopped allowing all visitors, which included Bible teachers. We had to stop going in there. And one thing I noticed is, you know, I really miss those guys after a couple weeks went by. You know, there's something about someone that desires the Word that you just can't, it's hard to find. And when you find it, you're drawn to that. You're drawn to that. Why? because we have something in common up here. We have something in common. And I miss seeing them. Why? Because one of the reasons is because I was able to see a change, not from the outside, but from the inside out, is what I was seeing. I was seeing a change. Someone that just stumbled in the door said, okay, let's try this Bible class. And said, well, wait, this is the Word of God. This is what I've been looking for all my life. What am I doing? You know what? I don't care about anything else. I don't care who I've been hanging out, this crowd. Yeah, they don't like that I'm not with them anymore, but I don't care. Drop everything in life to reorient priorities to just take in the Word of God. And it's amazing to see. Something inside them clicked. And they basically said, I want the truth, and no matter what, I'm not stopping to get it, is what they said. So these are the kinds of people you want next to you. These are the kind of people you need in your realm. And if you don't have any, you need at least one. And that can be hard to find. Hopefully, it's your immediate family around you. That's the most convenient and helpful. But if you don't have it, guess who you do have? You have this church. We have this church. We have people that think in one direction and they're positive to what God, who He is and what He has to say in His Word. So, these are the kinds of people that we need around us because we're fighting a spiritual battle. And if you want to come out on the other end with the same hunger that you went in with, they're only going to help you with that. They're not going to detract you from that. They don't detract from your positive volition. Anybody else you get around that doesn't have that hunger, they're going to take away bits and pieces of your desire for the Word of God. In some way, somehow, it'll be, first of all, it'll be your time. They're going to start there, which may be genuine on their part. But again, we have to go back to priorities. We have to make decisions on what we want in life, where we want to be, who we, you know, associate with. Every time I come to church on Sunday, I see people, you know, missing church and doing, having fun. Even on Saturday night, I look out my back window and I see this house partying a lot. And you know, that's fun. And that's fine. But you know, there's a day that's coming where we have to account for everything that happens. I mean, we got to wake up and say, you know, this life isn't just for luxury and enjoyment and just fun to just go walk down the street with my dog. It's not. And I feel bad because these people aren't aware that there's something happening right now. There's something happening that they need to be aware of so they can tune into God's plan. But they're not aware. They're not aware. They're just not aware. So, the point is that we just, this is where Paul is coming from. He's coming from a place where he realizes what the Philippians have inside them, and he very much appreciates that. And part of positivity on your part as a believer is not being offended. Not being offended, right? I mean, granted, we all get offended. We're all going to get offended at some point. But what I'm talking about is the ability to be offended by the Word of God. And keep trucking. Just keep trucking. Because if you haven't been offended, I'm not teaching the Word of God. That's the truth right there. If you're not getting uncomfortable in some form or fashion, I am not doing my job. I can't get around that. I can't. That is not me. Something that I'm saying, that's the Word of God. The Word of God is coming out and teaching is all it's doing. I can't go teach this to anybody. This is God's Word. This is something that we need to take in. And there's two ways that you take it in. You take it in and you react. And you say, you know what? That's not what I want to hear right now. Or you take it in. Maybe we get uncomfortable. We get offended. But we grow from it. We learn from it. We take it. And we say, okay, yes, I know the Word of God is not going to be everything I want to hear. That's sweet and lovely. So I'm going to take that and I'm going to use it and I'm going to apply it to my life. And it's going to change you. That's what changes your thinking. That's the difference right there. You're able to be offended and continue down the same road. You realize you got a sin nature. You say, well, I'm going to get offended because there's something I'm not going to like to hear. It's the Word of God. It's perfect. We're imperfect. So we're going to get offended. That's okay. That's all right. But the goal is to just stick it out. Stick it out. That's what Paul's dealing with here. He's dealing with people that truly have positive volition. Truly. So, anyways, after you know, months of not seeing these guys in the prison, you know, I still miss them. But guess what? I'm confident that they have a base form, and I've already seen it. So when they continue in their lives, they've been redirected. They've been redirected and rooted into the Word of God. So now they function better than 95% of the people outside of the prison. So I'm confident of that they will continue, because positive volition, truly positive volition, is, I'm going to say, impossible to shake. Impossible. It's impossible. You will die before you stop learning the Word of God. And that's where some of these guys are. And that's where some of you are. So this happens when you have truly positive volition. And what happens is you grow a little bit thicker skin. And instead of reacting to the Word of God, you what? You grow from it. You continue to advance. So isn't the Word of God amazing? I mean, how it produces these feelings in us that nothing else can. Nothing else can do this except God and His Word. That's it. That is it. This is actually an expression of Paul's love towards the Philippians here. And that's coming out in the letter. And it's not because of something they actually gave him. It's not because the physical things that attracted him to them. It's because of their positive volition to the Word. True love comes from thinking with the mind of Christ. That's where true love is. If you're having a love issue, always go back to the Word of God. Word of God. Paul's love is directed toward God first and then to the Philippians. And you know, we've seen that as well. He's thankful. He prays. He has them in their mind. They participate in the gospel with him. That's not just directed towards them. It's first towards God. Paul realizes that God is the reason, the reason behind the season, you could say. That's why they're doing what they're doing. That's why they're all focused on the same goal and moving in the right direction. So And that's just because God is the source. God is the true source of everything. And, you know, we don't really see that all the time when we're going through this life, you know, hustling and moving and timing and everything and family and sports activities. But God is the source of why things happen, including why they didn't happen or why they do happen at a certain time. God is in control of timing. And we see that and we know that. Paul realizes that with this scenario here. Paul was a part of the Philippians' lives from the time the church was founded. So his life was dedicated to giving them the word. That's what he did. In some form or fashion, he gave them the word. He gave them the word. And this is what Roy has done for 45 plus years at this church. Given the word of God. Given the word of God. Just like Paul here. He doesn't do it for money. He doesn't do it for prestige. He's been there and he's done that. Both Paul and Roy, actually. And what did they do? They set it aside. They set it aside. They had all these things, the beautiful, the great, the pretty, everything you can imagine. And they said, you know what? This is more important. This is more important. Whether it's one person or however many people that are positive to the Word of God. That's what's more important. They realized that this was infinitely more important than any physical thing the world could offer. And Paul even mentions that. They loved the Lord through consistent and persistent study of His Word for the sole reason of fulfilling their role in God's plan for their lives. And that's what? To feed the congregation. To feed the congregation. It's amazing that so many pastors get where they are today from some kind of false motivation like money, hopes of having a big church one day, or like I just said, prestige or satisfying the desires of the people. But these actually have no part in ministry at all. Zero. No part. And I think Paul gives the best description of the pastor's role in the ministry in Philippians 2:17, which we're not there yet, but we can read it now. And then we'll stop here. It says, "But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with all of you. You too, I urge, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me." This is the pouring out as a drink offering here is a, the word here is a libation, a liquid offering. Being poured out as a symbolized of total surrender, even unto death. It's the outpouring of one's lifeblood in service and suffering. Service and suffering. And it's even sometimes used figuratively for those whose blood is poured out in violent death for the cause of God. Now, wouldn't this be a great pastor's recruiting video? I think this would be great. So, our perception of any occupation, even in the secular realm, can sometimes be skewed or even inaccurate. And I think this is a good place where we can pick up next service. Let's close in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for allowing us to receive it, for the opportunity to not only have it, but be able to dig into it and find what you want us to know and be able to communicate it in a way that glorifies you. That's what we desire, and that's the only thing we want. Because without that, we wouldn't have anything. And we pray that we continue to be positive, continue down this path, because we know we are susceptible to the world. And if we're not truly locked in, we are vulnerable to various things in life that distract us. So we pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.